yard site that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik years ago. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a big yard site drash. He used to give a 4-hour shia. He used to give 2 hours halacha and gemara, and then 2 hours a long drasha. Look, we're missing all those drashas. Maybe we'll start from the Mishnah Ayin Tes on the base. Looks very familiar. I think we may have learned part of it. I'm not sure. Part of it or all of it. Again, if you have an area that has a mechitza around it, so it's a rishus hayochid. So, Min HaTorah does make a difference who lives there. Whether this family, the other family, it can carry from rishus hayochid to rishus hayochid. But Midrabbanan, Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that we learned in the second parak in Erevin, and the baskol came out from heaven and gave him a yashikoyach. Thank you very much. That you're not permitted to carry from Rishus Hayochid Shal Reuven into the Rishus Hayochid Shal Shimon unless he made an Erev Chatzeres together. So Erev Chatzeres, a Chatzer is an area that has a mukaf mechitz around it, that has a minimum of 2 bat. One family lives in one bias, the other family lives in the other bias. So no one's allowed to carry from the bias into the Chatzer, from the Chatzer into the bias, or from a bias into the bias unless they make an Erev Chatzeres. So there's a machlokes, and we pass an Erev Chatzeres has to be dafke lechem, has to be dafke pas. You can't make an Erev Chatzeres with any other kind of food. An Erev Chatzeres has to be bread. Okay. Has to be challah, lechem. We use matzah, because matzah doesn't get stale. Doesn't get spoiled. That's why we use matzah. We mentioned there's an issue that the Chuvas talk about. The Sfardim say bar minim zaynus on matzah all year long. They only say hamoitzi on Pesach night, because they make a kriya sudan. And the Gemara, the Mishnayos say that you can only for Erev Chatzeres you have to use lechem shemevarchem olav hamoitzi. So if all year long the Sfardim say bar minim zaynus on the matzah, how is that acceptable for the Erev? So the answer is no. But the Gemara says that cake is bar minim zaynus, but if you eat a ton of cake, then you say hamoitzi on the cake. So the Gemara says in Brachas Beferish around Aflamit Chesa, so that if you have that normally you say mizaynus, but if you kaveh suda, then you say hamoitzi. The Gemara said beferish that it is good for Erev Chatzeres. So we use matzahs, even according to the Sfardim, it's also acceptable. That's called pas. Can use like a cake also, even though cake lecholadeis is mizaynus. Even Ashkenazim would say mizaynus on cake. But if you kaveh suda, then you say hamoitzi. So you can use cake.
Enough cake to do a
soda. Okay. Okay. So basically, since sometimes you do say hamoitzi on cake, so you can use cake also for the Erev Chatzeres. For shituf and mevuas is a different thing. A mavui, the mesichta begins with a mavui. The first mishnah is talking about a mavui. Mavui means an area that's enclosed with a big mechitza, and you have two chatzeres opening up into a shared area, into the mavui. Each chatzer is a makamukov that has a minimum of two different families living there, two batin. You have another chatzer with two families living there. And then these two chatzeres open up into a third area that's shared in common by all of the four families. So that's a mavui. So in order to be allowed to carry in the chatzer and the mavui and the batim and so on, you have to have a shitufa mavuas. So shitufa mavuas, that's the third perek. The third perek says, bakol miarvin, bakol mishtatvin. What does it mean, bakol miarvin and mishtatvin? Shitufa mavuas, you can use any food. That's Roy Lachila Sodom is acceptable. So the Mishnah is talking about Menichas Achavis. So you're making a Shituf and Mavuas by leaving a barrel of wine or a barrel of oil, some kind of food. It doesn't necessarily have to be Lechem. An Erev Chatzeres has to be Lechem Shepashim Mevorchem Olav Hamoitzi. But a Shituf and Mavuas for a Mavui is acceptable even if it's not Hamoitzi. So normally when you're making a Erev Chatzeres or a Shituf and Mavuas, so each family has to give a challah, or each family gives a little bit of wine, and we put all the wine in a big container. If one person wants to be generous, so he can buy a big box of matzahs, that's what we usually do now. What, you're going to go collect a challah from every person? Going to have a big bin. Let's say you have an Erev here in Queens. So you have several hundred people are included in the Erev. So you're going to have every Shemesh Shabbos family is going to give a challah. Where you're going to get such a big container to put all these challahs, and it's going to get stale also. So you have one person goes to the store, buys a box of matzahs, but it has to be owned b'shutfis by all of the Shomer Shabbos in the neighborhood. So he can't buy it from the store, and then it's his, and then he's going to pick it up, and he's going to say, Zochen li'od m'shlei b'fonav, I'm zechet on behalf of the other people. In order to make a kinyan, the first step is it has to leave your metaltalim. Kinyan ha-metaltalim is always a form, the form of the kinyan ha-metaltalim is hachnosa l'mshusa. The basic kinyan ha-metaltalim is yad. We've learned that from a get isha, that it says, v'nosam biyoda, you put the get in the yad ho-isha. Or it says, by a ganef, him himotzi biyoda ha-ganeva. If the ganef makes a kinyan ganeva, how does make a kinyan ganeva? Biyoda, he stole a diamond ring and he holds it in his hand. Himotzi simotzi biyoda. So the Gemara says, you put together the two psukim, the pasuk of yad by the ganef, and the pasuk of yad by the get isha, and from these two psukim you learn a tzara shoved that in kolatar kula kinyan yad works. If you would have only had the pasuk by the ganav, you would have said there doesn't exist such a kinyan as yad. Maybe it's only a penalty for the ganav. Maybe it's only a din in hilchas ganeva. If you'd only have the pasuk by get, you might have thought that it's only din by get. But the Gemara says once you have the combination of the two psukim, that's the Gemara in Bav Metzia. In the first parak, once you have the combination of the two psukim, it says a kinyan yad by get isha. And says the kinyan yad by Geneva. So from these two psukim, we establish that there exists a kinyan yad and kolat arkula. So then the Gemara learns that from psukim, not only yad is called hachnasa l'shuso, if you put something into your chotzer, it's also called hachnasa l'shuso. And these two work on the level of deraisa, yad and chotzer. And then you have kinyonim that are, we assume, amadirabbanon hagboho and meshicha. If I pick something up, I come to the grocery store, and I want to buy the groceries. So if I pick it up high enough, so that constitutes a kinyan hagbo. It's also considered hachnasa l'vashusa. When I pick it up, even though I'm picking it up in the store, in the grocery store, and the whole store belongs to the merchant,
in possession,
that's considered hachnasa l'vashusa. When I pick it up, it's no longer sitting on the table, no longer sitting on the floor, and on its own it wouldn't be suspended in midair. So it's suspended in midair because I picked it up. So that's my hagbo. So hagbo is considered also a form of hachnasa l'vashusa. Or Meshicha, let's say I buy a behemoth, I buy an automobile, and I drive it a little bit in the street. So Meshicha is also considered a form of Hachnasa L'Veshusa. Also, that's a big machlokes where the three tvachim are one tefach, right? Rashi Shita is that you need three tvachim for Hagbah, that if you pick it up less than three tvachim, we say Lovut, so it's considered as if you never picked it up, as if it never left the original Veshus. Rashi himself admits that there is a Gemara in Bavikama around Daf Chof Tes where the Gemara says that if you pick it up one tefach, you are koina. So Rashi says that Gemara is talking about when you zechem in a hefker. If you own something and I want to be koina b'hagbos, so I have to pick it up three tefachim. If it's a hefker digger thing, then it's sufficient if you pick it up one tefach. How do you understand that? So Rashi holds basically hagbos is one tefach. Hagbos only needs one tefach. But in order to be machnis into your rishus, first you have to be motziyat mishus marakama, and then you can begin to be machnesin into your rishus. The kinyan by metaltalim always is either yad or chotzer or mishicha or hagbo. All of these four kinyanim, yad, chotzer, mishicha, hagbo, everything boils down to the same thing, hachnasa l'rishusi. But it's not considered hachnasa l'rishusi until I first am motziyat from the rishus of the marakama. So that's why Rashi says you need three tefachim. If the object belongs to somebody now, I pick it up only one tefach, so I say lovud, it's considered as if it's still in the rishus of the marakama. Once I pick it up three tefachim and there's no longer lovud, so then it left the rishus of the owner, and then it's called hachnasa l'rishusi. But if it's a dovish al hefka, it doesn't belong to anybody yet, so Rashi's maskim that a tefach is enough. Rashi himself writes like that. Tosis points out that Rashi, you don't need three tefachim really.
Rabbi, if I didn't have the psukim on yad, so I wouldn't think it comes to my rishus if someone put something in my yad?
I would not have known that such a kinyan exists. I wouldn't know that that constitutes a form of kinyan, hachnasa l'rishusi. Kinyan chalipin, when you pay for something, mo'os. Mo'os, the kinyan mo'os. We paskin like Rabbi Yechon, mo'os kain is dvar Torah. When I buy an automobile and I pay you the $65,000, then I'm kind of. And
I pay. No.
You don't have to be kind in the most. Let's say I owe you money for a salary. I employed you and you worked for me. I owe you salary. So when I put the money in front of you and I make it accessible to you, I made a piron achov. So that causes that the money is nicknamed to you, even though no maisekinyan was made. There, I want to buy an automobile and the price is $65,000. So when I pay you the chov, so the money is nicknamed to you without any maisa kinyan. You wouldn't even have to make a kinyan yad. I put the money in front of you, I make it accessible, so you're kind of the money. There are many gemaras that indicate like that. That when I owe you a debt, when I owe you money, mazik, chovel, halvoa, whatever the case, chiras pilim. Whatever you have a situation where somebody owes someone else money, and he makes a piron achov, you don't need a ma'aseh kinyan for the other person to be kohen of the kish. By virtue of the fact that the money has served as a piron achov, that's what causes the money to be nicknamed to the other party. Mos is a question, Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi claims that it's a pasuk that says by pidyon hegdish, and the end of Chumash Veikra, the end of Bahar B'chu, the end of B'chu Kaisai. So there's a pasuk that doesn't really read like this. The Gemara quotes as if there were a pasuk that says v'nos nahakesef hakamlo. So Tosfos points out there ain't no such pasuk. The Gemara is quoting a word over here and a word over there. The Gemara is putting together words in the pasuk. If you read two pasukim in a row, that's what it says. That's pidyon hegdish. Pidyon hegdish is accomplished by kinyan mo'os, when I pay. So Rashi claims that the mo'os konos, the halacha that mo'os hakonos dvar Torah, is based on not gzeres hakosov, but pidyon hegdish. Tosfos Tain is that pasuk is a gzeres hakosov, that only applies to pidyon hegdish. How do you know that it has any application whatsoever with respect to kinyanei chulin? Yeah? So Tosfos says that mo'os is a svara. That's so compelling a svara. That if we agree that you're selling me merchandise, and I pay you the whole value of the karko, the metaltlim, so mo'ez hakoinah is dvar Torah.
Transaction.
Yad is not apparently not a svar. What about what?
How did Avraham Avinu was kind of the karko?
Kesef is not the same as mo'os. Mo'os means I pay the full value of the automobile. Let's say mo'os koin is dvar Torah, machlekes Rabbi Yechon v'Ish Lakish. So we pass like Rabbi Yechon that mo'os koin is by metaltlim in Torah. But that means I paid the whole value of the automobile. I paid the whole $65,000 by karka. The halacha says karka is nikkes bepruta b'shav bepruta. That's only a symbolic act. Let's say by when a man gets married and he gives the girl a ring that's worth $200. So that the girl's value is $200. No, there is no Dmei HaMekach by Kiddushin. There is no Dmei HaMekach. You're not paying Dmei HaMekach. It's just a symbolic Kinyan Kesef. Okay. Our minig is that we give the diamond ring for engagement, but for the Kiddushin, we're afraid that there may be a lack of Spichas Da. She may think that Miyodeh, the diamond ring, is worth so much, may be worth much less, even though it's really worth a Shavu Pruta. So the minig is that we're not Mekadosh with a ring that has a stone. Tosfos in Kiddushin has that on Daftes. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes different than Tosfos. Because even though there's Das Kiddushin, the girl wants to get married, and she knows that the ring is a Shavu Pruta, but if she thinks the ring is worth way more, and it turns out that it's worth much less, so that's a lack of Smichas Das. Not a lack of Das, it's a lack of Smichas Das. Yeah.
I don't understand something you said before. When someone borrows, lends you money, you pay back a loan, or when you're paying, you pay for salary, you have to make a kinyan on that?
Don't have to make a kinyan. That's what I'm saying. When I want to pay back a debt,
right,
there's no need for you to make a kinyan on the money. Once right. I make the money accessible to you in a satisfactory fashion, right. Let's say you're fixing your automobile, your fingers are all greasy. And I come out, I owe you $5,000. I want to give you the money. You say, don't give me the money now. You don't want to get the money all greasy. Leave it in an envelope on the table. And the table is in the shul or something. It's not in your house. So you didn't make a kinyan on the money. But
I didn't understand what you said. Okay, now I understand.
If I make the money accessible, the chov is parua. So by virtue of the fact that the chov is parua through this money or whatever I'm giving you, that causes you to be kind of that money. So that's what the Gemara makes such a distinction. When you say metaltlim could be nicknamed b'mo'os, the Gemara doesn't call it kesef. You kind of karka the kesef and metaltlim b'mo'os. Why they switch the expression? Because metaltlim on nicknamed b'mo'os means you paid up the full Dmei HaMekach, the full value. So Tosfos claims that that's a svara. Tosfos says you don't even need a pasuk for that. That's a svara. But karka is nicknamed b'kesef. That's where you learn out kiddush isha is learned out kicha kicha misdei Ephron. That just like Avraham Avinu acquired the ownership of Moros HaMachpelah by paying money, Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, so to a man can be Mikadosh Anisha. So what does it mean? A man is Mikadosh Anisha, he pays the value of the woman. No, it's not Mo'os, it's Kesef. Kesef is a symbolic Kenyan. So Karka is nicknamed Bekesef, even if you don't pay the full value. I just give a dollar, I give a pruto. The Karka is worth $1 million. I just give, and the dollar doesn't even have to be a down payment. The dollar doesn't even have to be a down payment on the karka that you're going to subtract it from the full amount later on. Doesn't have to be part of the meha mekach at all.
So you're saying that kesef is the generic term of money, whereas ma'os is more of a close intrinsic value relative to what you're purchasing. The more
right. Ma'os means you paid the meha mekach, and that's a svara. That works by karka and metalplin. And kesef is kind of a karka only. Kesef is not kind of by metalplin. There never was machlekes. Kesef means I just make a symbolic kinyan of kesef.
In other words, if I give only a deposit on metalplin, it's not considered
right, that's not kaina. Mois kaina is dvar Torah, means if you paid up the full demea mecca.
So then they can cancel the transaction?
Well, the Gemara says they made a takana de rabbanon that even if you paid the full demea mecca, I paid the full $65,000 for the automobile, the min Torah, nobody can back out, the kinyan is final, and mid the rabbanon made a takana that people can back out. They, at your own risk, whoever wants to back out, the Bezdin will curse him. And not just that on the books there's a curse printed in the Mishnah. The Bezdin will curse him, but Poel Mamish. They'll say, the Lord of the heaven above who punished the Dara Midbon, the Dara Flogan, punished the Mitzvim, will punish you because of the fact that you're Einu Emet B'dibur, because you backed out from the Kenya. But they do allow you to, they allow you to back out from the Kenya if you're prepared to accept the curse. Curse is like a punishment. Yeah. That's a good question. How can you learn out Kiddush Yisha from Ephraim? Maybe Ephraim paid the full amount. Avraham Avinu paid the full amount. Plus more, yeah. I don't know, but I don't know. It's a good kasha, but the halacha distinguishes between the two. The kinyan kesef doesn't have to be the full amount, even just the symbolic, a token kinyan.
So when he buys karka with ma'os, the ma'os permitted to the seller of the karka without even picking it up. Just makes it available. And he becomes an owner, his kohen of the karka, also no act.
Right.
Just this made available to the Mos.
Because he paid the Mea Mekach, so Mos HaKoinus. The Rambam has by karka, the Rambam has twice in Hilchas Mechira. He writes, karka is niknas b'kesef, the karka is niknas b'mos, and he has slight differences between the two. Kesef means you pay symbolic kinyan. You just give a dollar, karka is worth $1 million. And if you paid the full demea mekach, then karka is niknas b'maos. So the Rambam has a difference between the two.
So kesef has to be actual silver?
No. Shove kesef is also acceptable. No. Whenever there's a din of kesef, we always assume that shove kesef is also acceptable, b'teres kesef. There are only three exceptions to the rule, but shove kesef is not dinak kesef, are by pinyan ma'aser sheni. There the pasuk keeps on saying, "V'tzarta kesef biyadecha," and "asata kesef" says kesef several times. So the Gemara says, "There you need dafke kesef. Shavu kesef is not acceptable." So if you have ma'aser sheni and you want to be paid in the ma'aser sheni, this year is a ma'aser sheni year. Last year was a shmita year. So the first 2 years of the shmita cycle are ma'aser sheni year, and the third year and the sixth year are going to be a ma'aser oni year. So when you have a ma'aser sheni year, you have to be paid in the ma'aser sheni onto cash. Shavu kesef is not acceptable. And kesef has to be cash that's legal tender in that medina. Let's say I'm an Eretz Yisrael and I use an Israeli shekel. I have an Israeli coin that's a shekel, so a shekel is legal tender in Eretz Yisrael. Then I come back from Eretz Yisrael to America, I still have my matbeah in my pocket, my Israeli matbeah, and now I have some tevel from Eretz Yisrael they're selling in the store in America, a mafish ma'aser sheni, I want to continue to be paid in the ma'aser sheni on the Israeli shekel, so that's not acceptable. And Israeli shekel in America is not legal tender. Israeli shekel in Eretz Yisrael is kesef. Israeli shekel in America is shove kesef. The Israeli government minted special coins to do pidyon haben with it. So the coins that the government minted in Eretz Yisrael are considered kesef in Eretz Yisrael. In America it's shove kesef, but that's not a problem. Shove kesef is good for pidyon haben. By pidyon haben, the din is that shove kesef is kesef. The Gemara talks about making pidyon haben talazel pidyon bni, egelzel pidyon bni. You can give whatever you want. It doesn't have to be kesef. By pinyan ma'aser sheni, it's a special din. It has to be dafke kesef. Then the Gemara has another exception to the rule that machzis ha-shekel can only be fulfilled if you give cash. If you give shove kesef, it's no good. You have to give dafke cash. And then there's a third case that's only midirabbanan, the third exception to the rule, where we say shove kesef is lafke kesef. But Rashi, this is a Gemara M'char, is daf nun aleph, a braisa, where the braisa lists off all the three cases. Well, shove kesef is lavke kesef. So the third case is when you Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, when everybody comes to Yerushalayim, to be oila regel. So everyone, all the men are mechuyif to buy a carbon oila sriya. So when they purchase the oila sriya, there's a din midir rabbanon that they have to pay with kish. They shouldn't pay with shavah kesh. So Rashi is mitzayin to Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi explains why they made such a din midir rabbanon. That's only a din midir rabbanon, but the other two adinim deraisa that pidyon ma'aser sheni has to be davka bekesef. Shavah kesef is not acceptable. The Gemara in Bava Metzia and Perek Hazav says it's learned out from the fact that he keeps on repeating the word v'tzata kesef biyadecha. When asata kesef, it says several times the word kesef. So it has to be davka kesef. Shavah kesef is no good. And the other din is machtes hashekel. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his Chuvas that he wrote a chibur on Yerushalmi. That's what he was crying over, the fact that when he ran away from the communists, he left it behind and he couldn't take it with him, and he considered that his life's work. He considers that better than all of the tshuvas that he wrote, and more important than all of the chidush Torah that he wrote, the sefer that he wrote on Yerushalmi. So in his tshuvas, he refers to his chibur on Yerushalmi. He says he established, he wrote in his sefer on the Talmud Yerushalmi, that this din is also a din deraisa. When you give machtes hashekel every year for the purpose of purchasing the karbanas tzibur bizman shebeis hamikdash hayikayim, all the men have to give machtes hashekel. So that's a din deraisa. He can only be out in the mitzvah of machtes hashekel by giving davke kesh. Give shavah kesef is not
kesef. Could it be kesef?
Whatever country. Has to be legal tender in the country where you're giving it. It has to be legal tender in that country. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has to be machtes hashekel of kesef tzuri. Yeah. But it doesn't. You don't have to give kesef tzuri. If kesef medina is also recognized, so you have to give much more.
The Turakat has a problem.
Okay.
So except for these three cases where kesef is not the same.
So shavah kesef is always good.
So
when I buy karka, let's say karka is nicknas bekesef, so it doesn't have to be if I pay the full value of the karka. So that's midin mo'os, so it's paid up. So that's good by karka and metaltlan. Even if I don't pay the full value, I just give a dollar, so I can give, let's say, a little sefer that's worth $10. And I'll be koina the karka with the $10 sefer. That's called karka niknas bekesef.
Right.
So shavah kesef is nina kekesef.
Right. So besides these three cases, when would kesef or shavah kesef be more machmir than maos? In what way? In other words, doesn't maos already incorporate? You could say that it's just kesef. In other words, for
maos works both by karka and by metaltalim. Minatora, midrabbanan, they say, gave you the ability to back out by metaltalim. But minatora, mos works, but mos means you paid up the full value. And kesef means I didn't pay the full value. I just gave a partial. I didn't even give a partial payment.
Kesef only works by karka. But
kesef only works by karka. It doesn't work by metaltalim. And mos works both by karka and metaltalim. So Rashi Shita happens to be, that's a famous machlekes Rashi in Tosfos. When you make hakboah, do you have to pick up three tefachim, or is it enough to pick up with one tefach? So even Rashi says you have to pick up three tefachim. Rashi in Baba Kama, daf lamed, daf chav tes, daf lamed. Rashi writes that if you koinim in a hefker, it's enough with a tefach. So Rashi explains himself. Tosfos and Rashi explain why that basically hagbah is really good enough a tefach. Let's say you have to pick up the lulav and the esrig. So let's say the lulav and the esrig are sitting on the table, and the person holds them like this. He doesn't pick them up. Is it yoytze? Has to be kederach kedilosim. So let's say the lulav and the esrig are standing up on a pedestal, and I just hold them and I don't pick them up. Are you yoytze? That's a question. Many assume that you have to pick it up. So how high do you have to pick up the lulav and the esrig? So the pashtus is the shear is always a tefach. Hagvah is a tefach. The Gemara says when you bench mezuman, when you say kiddush, tzorach hagbi a tefach me'al hakarka. If the becher is on the floor, you have to pick it up. If the becher is on the table, you have to pick it up a tefach above the table. If you can. If you can't, if you're nervous, if a person is shaking, is going to spill all the wine, they don't pick it up. So you might say kiddush having the becher full in front of you on the table. But if you can pick it up, so the Gemara says the proper thing is you pick it up a tefach. The Shir HaGbo is always a tefach. Rashi requires three tefachim if it belongs to someone else. So you have to first be motzi at Meshus Marakama before you have the ability to be machnesit into what's considered your Rishus. You got to pick it up three tefachim, otherwise it'll be lovered. It's considered as if it never left the Rishus of the original owner. But let's say Yizechem and Ahefka, then a tefach would be enough. So here the Mishnah talks about And Tosfos says you never need three tefachim. Tosfos says whenever you do hakbar, it's always good enough with a tefach. Whether you're kind of from someone else or you're kind of in a hefka, it doesn't make a difference. So here, the Mishnah says, strictly speaking, when you make an erev chatzeres harishetufim mavus, we should really insist that every single Shomer Shabbos family should give a challah, or should give a little bit of wine, a little bit of oil, and put everything in one big container. But if you want, the Mishnah says, Meniachas Achav is one person can pay for a whole barrel of wine or a whole barrel of oil, whatever. And he can buy, we do it all the time. You buy a box of matzahs in the store, then I give it to my next door neighbor that she should pick it up a tefach and she should be kind of shutfis for all the Shomer Shabbos who live in the building now, whoever's going to move in until next Pesach. So the din is, the Gemara says that if you pick it up a tefach, that's sufficient. So that's what Tosfos Tain is against Rashi. Here's the Tosfos. The second Tosfos on the bottom of the daf, and Ayin Tes on the base. The Gemara says, Tzorch lagdiyam en akarka tefach. When I buy the whole box of matzahs, or I buy the whole bottle of wine for the shetufa mavuos, wine is good for eruv chatzeres and idavke lechem matzahs. But the shetufa mavuos, wine is good. So when I buy a big barrel of wine and I tell my neighbor pick it up a tefach, Fractus says, how come a tefach is good? Doesn't it prove that Rashi is wrong? That Rashi says you always have to pick up gimel tefachim. So Tosfos says, mikam from this gemara ain't lachiyach takbo sagi betefach. You cannot disprove Rashi shita. You cannot prove Tosfos shita. Tosfos is being honest. Their shita is that tefach is always good enough. So this gemara seems to support shita satay. So they say, no, the truth is it doesn't necessarily support us. You can insist that Rashi is right, that you really have to pick up three tefachim. The shiny shetufim was the rabbanon, since the whole need for the kinyan. You're talking over here shetufim was the whole thing is only takana of shleima melech, a takana of the rabbanon. So maybe they were mekel, because the gemara says in Gittin, the gemara says that the mishnah has another kula over here. Normally the din is when you say zochen liadam shalai befanu. Let's say I want to give a gift to someone who's not here, so I give the sefer to someone who is here. He picks it up and he's kind of I'm here for the other person. And then I want to back out. I'm an Indian giver. I gave a gift to you. You should be kind of for Pliny. You picked it up. You're kind of. Then I say, I back out. I want it back. So it's too late. Once you did Zach Liyadim Shlei Befanov, so the person cannot back out. So the Gemara says, what if I gave it to a child before Bar Mitzvah? I gave the gift to a cotton to be kind of for another person. And then I changed my mind after I gave it. So the Gemara says, a cotton can be Zech Liyatzmo. If I give a gift to a cotton before Bar Mitzvah, there's a das acheres makna to the cotton, so the cotton is kainah. But the cotton should be kainah on behalf of someone else. The Gemara says, a cotton cannot be zeich al acher. Frag the Gemara from this Mishnah. The Mishnah here says, beferish, we're going to have to see which line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, beferish, that a cotton can be zeich al box of matzahs for someone else. One person buys a barrel of wine or a box of matzahs for the shetuf mavus, for their ruvich atzeres, and he gives it to a cotton. A cotton picks it up at tefach, and he says, the cotton says, I have a mind to be kind of shutfis. For all the Shomer Shabbos who live here, whoever's going to move in till Pesach. So the Mishnah is beferish that it is good. The Gemara says, don't you see from this Mishnah that a cotton can be zeich al acher? So the Gemara says, yeah, shani shetuf from a voice, it's only with the Rabbanon. So they were makel over here. That's the Gemara. It says on the side, that's in Gittin, Dav Samach Dalar Amibes. The Mishnah, this Mishnah is quoted in different Mesichtas. So in Gittin, Samach Dalar Amibes, that's why it's quoted, because the Gemara proves from this Mishnah that a cotton can be zeich al acher. So that's what Tosfos says over here. Maybe usually you really require hagbo three tefachim, like Rashi Sheet always is. You always need hagbo gimel tefachim. Maybe over here they will make a lot of tefach is enough, because the whole kinyan is only needed mid the rabbanon. The whole thing is a chumra mid
the
rabbanon.
Usually,
yeah.
So wouldn't they want to make the same?
Yeah, the Gemara in Gittin there argues that point. How can you say that they were makel? But we usually say called the tikkun rabbanon came the raisa. The Gemara says nonetheless. One can dingzach. That's how we paskin. Cotton cannot be zeich al acherim in any other case, except over here, because the whole need for the shetuf and mavus is only with the rabbanon. Right. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Brura quotes an opinion from the Gaonim, quoted by the Magen Mishnah, in Gansen differently. He says, Lioilam, when you make the hagbah, maybe Rashi is right. You really need three tefachim. What it says over here in the Gemara that you have to pick it up at tefach, that's not talking here. The Gemara says right away, Chavish al shetufa mavuas, Tzorch lagdiyah min akarka tefach. Amar Rab Yudah. This is the first tikkun of Gemara right after the Mishnah. Amar Rab Yudah the Amora Rab Yudah lived in Babel. He didn't have smicha, so he's called Rab Yudah. Amar Rab Yudah, Chavish al shetufa mavuas, the barrel that's full of all the wine, You have to pick it up at Tefa. So the Goyim learn Pshat, you're not picking it up to make the Kinyan Hagvah to be Zoyche on behalf of all the Shomer Shabbos. No. For that, you got to pick it up 3 Tvachim. No, we're talking about a case, everybody chipped in, everybody poured in a little bit of wine. All the people who live in all the Chatzeris and all the Batim, everybody pours in a little bit of wine. And then when you make a Shetufim, so the wine is owned b'shutfas by everybody anyway. So tefach, that's the din. When you're making an Erev Echatzeris or Shetufim Vuhas, or for that matter, an Erev Tavshilin, you have to pick it up and say, B'hadein Eruvah. You have to pick it up at Tefach and make a declaration. With this Erev, we are now all allowed to carry in the backyard. We're allowed to carry. That's considered the Asiyas Erev. That's why you have to pick it up at Tefach. Not like Rashi and Tosfos, you have to pick it up at Tefach to be koina al yedei hagbor. Rashi and Tosfos say that it's the Kinyan. You have to pick up at Tefach for the purpose of being Zoyche Ashutfis for all the Shomer Shabbos. And the Goyim say no. You have to pick up at Tefach. That's considered Asiyas Erev Echatzeres. The Mishneh Berurah quotes this in Hilchas Erevei Tavshilin. Because it says in Shulchan Aruch, the minig is, when Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos, so you have to make an Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yontif. So the minig is, you daven Mincha in Shul on Erev Yontif. Then right after you finish Mincha, it's a half minute left to the Shkia. So the Gabbai makes an announcement, don't forget to make an Erev Tavshilin. What is it going to help? What is it going to help now? It's too late. How can you make an Erev Tavshilin now? So the Shulchan Aruch says, there's no problem. Shulchan Aruch says, no problem. The husband knows that his wife baked challahs and cakes and cookies and gefilte fish and chicken and kugel. He knows that she cooked everything. So he doesn't have to pick anything up. He just sits in shul. They give him a half a minute before the chazan says Baruch Hu for Ma'ariv. So in a half a minute left between finishing the Kaddish after Aleinu for Mincha and time the chazan starts to say Baruch Hu for Ma'ariv. So the husband just makes a declaration in shul. All the challahs that my wife baked and all of the kugel and all the challahs and all the hard-boiled eggs and all the chopped liver, everything should be an Erev Tavshilin for Shabbos. So something is going to remain. There's no halacha that you have to dafka take a hard-boiled egg and a matzah. You can take all the food in the house as long as something will be left on Yontif later on when she wants to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. As long as something will be, of course something is going to be left. Then I can eat everything up in the house. So the Shulchan Aruch is working on the assumption that there's no need to pick up a tefach. When you make a declaration, there of Tavshilin, I say, all the challahs that my wife has in the house, and all the chicken, and all the gefilte fish, and all the chopped liver, everything should be there of Tavshilin. So the Mishneh Berurah says there are those who disagree and say you have to pick it up a tefach. Rashi and Tosfos say the picking up a tefach is only if it's a shutuf and mevuas, so it has to, all of the Shomer Shabbos have to have a shutfis in this. So I have to give my barrel of wine to the neighbor, I have to give my box of matzahs to the neighbor to pick up a tefach, to be kind of shutfis for all the others, for herself and for all the Shomer Shabbos. But if I'm making an Erev Tavshilin for my family, so Rashi and Tai said there's no need to pick it up a tefach, I make the declaration in shul in Fartik. So the Mishneh Berurah says that there are those Rishonim, the Magen Mishneh quotes from the Goyim, that tzach lagdia tefach is always necessary. That's called Asiyas Erev. You can't just make a declaration. You have to pick it up and make the declaration. So the Tzach Lagdia Tefach is not the Shir Kinyan Hagboa, that's the Shir for Asiyas Erev. Okay, so big machlekes Rishonim. Yeah?
How does it work with the Lubav, right? If you're going to pick, once you get it, it's not yours. If I'm saying it's not yours, right? So once he's going to give it to me, I'm going to be Yotze ready just by holding it. So
that was a big machlekes in Europe. If I take a matana maras lachze from someone else at the time that I picked it up, see, they start this machlekes like this. What if a person is so excited about shaking the lulav, he picks up the lulav and the esrog and the dalamin before alos hashachar, too early in the morning, and is still holding on to it? And then it comes Alois HaShachar, then it comes on Eitz HaChama. The Chatchili shouldn't really do the mitzvah before on Eitz HaChama. So would you say you have to put it down and pick it up again after Alois HaShachar, after on Eitz HaChama? The mitzvah of Lulav you yotzei by picking it up or by holding it in your hand? You don't have to pick it up. So that was a big machlekes in Europe. So then Rabbi Sol Salanta and others had this machlekes. So whenever you take a lulav of someone else, Matanam and Asla Hachzir, so maybe when you took it from the other person, it didn't belong to you yet. And the first 2 days in each Shalachem. So maybe you have to take it to be kaita, then you have to put it down, then you have to pick it up again. Mm. If you hold that, the picking up is the mitzvah. And the Netziv has a whole argument, he doesn't think, that was Rabbi Shaul Salanta had a lot of chumras. Shaul Salanta is chumra, that when you take the lulav from someone else, you take it, you kaita, then you have to put it down, then you have to pick it up again. Because the picking up is the mitzvah. And the Netziv, in his Sefer on the Gemara, thinks that he has a right from the Gemara, Menachos, that you don't have to pick it up a second time. The holding on, the continuing to hold on, is the Kiyama Mitzvah. You don't have to pick it up after Alos HaShachar. So that's what Rabbi Sol Salanta said, L'kachtem L'chem, the taking. And he says L'kachtem means the holding on, the continue to hold on, that's all L'kachtem. You don't have to pick it up. You don't require that at the time that you picked it up, it should already belong to you. That was a big machlokes in Europe. Some were machma like Rabbi Sol Salanta's Chumra. Yeah. So the Mishnah has, if I bought a box of matzahs from the store and I want this to serve as the Eruv HaTzeres, or I bought a barrel of wine, want it to serve as the Shetuf HaMavuas, so somebody has to be kind of Shutfus for all the Shomer Shabbos in the area. So I can't be the one to pick it up. What do you mean I'm going to pick it up? It never left my Rishus. So how can you say it enters into their Rishus? So I have to give it over to someone else other than myself. The Mishnah says, I have to give it to someone else. So it leaves my Rishus, and they're picking it up for all the Shomer Shabbos. So they're picking it up for themselves, or for themselves and for all the Shomer Shabbos, whatever it is. But you can, a person can't pick it up. That's the rule.
What if he gets it from the store owner? He picks it up and he thinks at the same time that he's Zerchah.
Oh, so that the Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma has like that. Let's say I buy dresses for my wife. I buy shoes for my wife, I buy clothing for my children. So Milach HaTchila, when I pay the storekeeper, I tell him, he understands, this is for my wife, this is for my children, I'm not buying it for myself. So I pay the money to the storekeeper, and when I take it, Milach HaTchila, it's taken on behalf of the wife. So I don't. It's not that I'm kind of the dress, and then I pick it up a second time and I'm Zecha for my wife. Milach HaTchila belonged to the storekeeper, and when I bought it directly for my wife. That's the Mishnah, it's like that in the end of, you have in Bava Kamma like that. It's a Mishnah in Erechin. Let's say a person takes a neder, he's going to give so much money to Tzedakah, he's going to give so much money to Hegdish. And then they come to collect and he doesn't have enough money. So you got to take from his property. So you can't take from his wife's clothing. He can't take, let's say his wife has 1,000 dresses in, at home. And his children have shoes and clothing, they have a lot of extra things. He can't take from the wife's clothing, can't take from the children's clothing. Because Melech HaTchila, when he bought it from the store, he didn't buy it for himself. He bought it for his wife, he bought it for his children. So that doesn't belong to him. It's not that he bought it for himself and then he picks it up Zecher for the wife. Melech HaTchila, he bought it straight for the wife and the children. So if I come to the storekeeper and I tell the storekeeper, I want to buy a box of matzahs for the purpose of Erev HaTzeres, and I want to buy it from you on behalf of all the Shem Shem. So that's good. But if I go to the storekeeper, I say, I'm buying a box of matzahs. I don't say who I'm buying it for. So it's obvious I'm buying it for myself. I have in mind, in the back of my mind, I'm buying for the Shem Shabbos. That's Dvorim Shebalev. So I'm kind of it, and then I can't pick it up the second time and just say, I'm now Zecher for all the Bnei Amovu. I have to give it to an outsider, to a stranger. So the Mishnah draws a contrast between an Eved Ivri and an Eved Kanaini. We have a rule by an Eved Kanaini, Kol Mashikon Eved Kona Rabbah. That's a Din Deraisa. Kol Mashikon Eved Kona Rabbah. Ve'kinyan Eved below Rabbah. So I cannot give the box of matzahs to my Eved Kenayni. We don't have any Avodim Kenaynim now. Lincoln freed all the slaves and no Eved Kenayni anymore. But before he freed the slaves, there were Avodim Kenaynim in America. There's no din. Eved Ivri is only noy bizman shay yovel noy. We haven't had yovel for many centuries. Eved Kenayni, strictly speaking, would have been noy bizman as also, if not for the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves and no more Eved Kenayni. Okay, good. So if you have an Eved Kenayni, there's a din deraisa, kol mashikon Eved Kona Rabbah. So if I'll give the box of matzahs to the Eved Kenayni, tell him, pick it up to be zeicha shutfis for all the Shem Shabbos. That's considered like putting it from my right hand to my left hand. It never left my rishus, because yad Eved kiad Rabbah, kol mashikon Eved Kona Rabbah. But in Eved Ivri, that din doesn't apply. There is no such halacha, kol mashikon Eved Ivri Kona Rabbah. And Eved Ivri is an independent person. Not the same as, not gufa konui, to the same extent as an Eved Kenayni. So the Mishnah draws the contrast. You can be mizaka yidei avde v'shivchasa ha'ivrim, avaloi yidei avde v'shivchasa ha'knainim. If neshi yodon ki yodo. If I give to the Eved Kenayni, that's putting it from my right hand to my left hand. Yodon ki yodo. That's eidonim zeich al de'atzma. Never left my rishus. But if I give to the Eved Ivriya, to the Amoh Ivriya, so then it did leave my Rishus. So that's what the Gemara in Gittin on Dav Samach Dalet points at. An Amoh Ivriya, how old is she? An Amoh Ivriya, by definition, is a Ktana.
Less than an
Ayla. Yeah, a Ktana. A girl until the age of 12 is before Bas Mitzvah, Ktana. Once she reaches 12, she's a Gdola. That's a Naira. A Naira is a Gdola. At the age of 12 and a half, then she's a Bulgaris already. A Bulgaris leaves the whole Rishus of the father. Because man, she's a Naira, she's still Rishus Taviyah for the purpose of Haras Nadorim and other Nafkaminis also. That's what the Gemara says. Once the girl reaches the age of 12, she can't be an Amoh Ivri anymore. And the simple reading of the Gemara is, why don't you say the girl is an Amoh Ivri? She sold herself as an Amoh Ivri. So the Rambam says there is no such thing. A man can sell him. There's a concept of Mecher Atzma by a man. A Jewish man sells himself as an Eved Ivri, or the Machru Bezim, an Imka Big Nevosa. If a person is a Ganif and he didn't pay back, so the Bezim will sometimes sell him as an Eved Ivri. But by a woman, there's neither Nimka Big Nevosa or La Big Nevosa. A woman, that's one of the differences between men and women that the Mishnais have, that the Bezim never sells a woman. If women do gnevis, they have to pay. But if a woman doesn't have the money to pay, you don't sell her as an Amoh Ivriya. And also the Rambam says she can't pay a Mecher Atzma. A woman cannot sell herself as an Amoh Ivriya. The only case where you have an Amoh Ivriya is the father sells his daughter Bitoktana. And once she reaches the age of Bas Mitzvah, once she becomes a Naira, she's Yaitzeh. She's Yaitzeh Lecheres. So the Gemara says it's never Gemalt. It doesn't exist an Amoh Ivriya who's already a Gdaila. So that's what the Gemara points out. So how can the Odon give the box of matzahs or the barrel of wine to his Amoh Ivriya? That she should pick it up and become a shutfis on behalf of all of the Shomer Shabbos in the building, in the whole neighborhood. But the Amoh Ivriya, by definition, is a ktana, and we pass in there in Gittin, Dav Samach Dal, that a katna ktana cannot be zeche avur acherim. So the Gemara says, because shituf and mevus is only with the Rabbanon, say hikilu. That's what the Gemara Chep is. Aye, but it's called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there as a Tikkun. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, they made a Kulav. So it's based on that Gemara that Tosfos says over here also. Maybe the Olam Rashi is right that Hagbor really requires three Tvachim. And because Shetuf and Mavuz only needs a Kinyan with the Rabbanan, that's why he Kilu. That here it's enough with the Tefa. Tosfos just said it along the lines of the Gemara. The Gemara had that Svara to say that by Erev Echatzev Shetuf and Mavuz they were Mekum.
So how would
the Amma Ivriya be better than Bita Khan? The Bita Khan is also under 12. Why should
she be worse than?
Yeah, so let's say if I'll give the box of matzahs to the next door neighbor's daughter, who's under 12. That's also good. I give to a boy before Bar Mitzvah, to a girl before Bas Mitzvah, that they should pick it up and be kind of a shutzvah, all the Shomer Shabbos in the building. So the Mishnah is telling us that that is acceptable. The only time it's not acceptable, I give to my own child, the bun of a benos of haktanim, so then the Mishnah draws a contrast. Let's say, I want to make an Erev Chatzeres, and all the neighbors are busy, and I want to give the box of matzahs to one of my own children. So if I have a child who's after Bar Mitzvah, bun of a benos of hagadolim, after Bar Mitzvah, so then I consider my own children as if they were independent people. But Banav Benos Vahaktanim, my children before Bar Mitzvah, before Bas Mitzvah, so then I say as if Yad HaKotn Ki Yad Aviv, and I treat it the same as an Eved Knaini. So then the my Ktanim cannot be Zeicha, the Baksa Matzah for the other Shem Shabbos. But if it's any other cotton, whether he lives in the building or not, any other cotton would be able to be zeh.
So the distinction is not the age, but rather that they live with you. What about an isha? Don't we say that somebody's wife, whatever belongs to her? I mean,
right. There is a din midirabbanon. Yeah, kol masha konsi isha kona baila. It's not exactly the same as Eved Knaini. Eved Knaini is a din deraisa by ishto. It's a din derabbanon. Furthermore, by Eved Knaini, kol masha kona kona rabo. 100%. Whatever the Eved acquires, he finds a $100 bill in the street, or he goes and he gets a job and he makes $5,000 a week. So every penny that he earns goes minatora to the Yodon. By the Isha, it's only a din de Rabbana, number one. And number two, the Baal doesn't get everything. The Baal is entitled to Peris Nechsimulub. Any money the wife earns, so the husband is entitled to put that money in a bank account and he gets the Rebach from it. or she finds a $1,000 bill in the street, so he put the money in the bank and he's entitled to get the interest on it. He gets the peiros nechsim milug. He doesn't get the whole thing. But nonetheless, Tosis quotes the Gemara in the Dorim. The Mishnah says the husband can give the box of matzahs to his own wife. So the Gemara in the Dorim raises an issue. The Gemara raises that issue. Why do we permit that? Why don't we say, just like Banav Ibnosu Haktanim, the husband, the father of the family, cannot give them the box of matzahs to be zecher for others. So why shouldn't I say that Ishto should be the same? So the Gemara gives a funny explanation. The Gemara says the Mishnah is talking about a case that the husband and the wife live in two different apartments in the same building. Very happily married, is Shalom Bais. He lives in one apartment, she lives in a different apartment. Who's taking care of the children? So the Gemara says, so the wife needs an Erev Echatzer, so she should be allowed to carry there. She's one of the tenants in the building. So that's what Tosis says. Dibra Maschala Yidei Ishto. See the first line in Tosis. Bisof Nedarim, almost the very end. The Dorim ends on Daf Tzadik. So Bisof Nedarim Mukila, the Gemara Zetz Zayin this Mishnah, Sheish Labayis Bosa Mavoy, that the woman has her own apartment in this Chatzar and this Mavoy. So she has to have a Shutfis and the box of matzahs in order that everyone should be allowed to carry. So Migu, since we say Migu de Zachila Nafsho, since we do give her the ability to be kind of a shutfis in the box of matzahs for herself, in order that she should be able to carry, that the husband should be able to carry, all the people should be able to carry. So since she has the ability to be kind of a shutfis in the era for herself, so she can also be kind of a shutfis for all the Shem Shabbos in the building. But if it's a normal, happily married couple, and the husband and the wife live in the same apartment, and the wife doesn't ask her, she doesn't have her own dira that she should ask her, then the Gemara in Nedarim says that the wife cannot be zeicha. That's a question, should we paskin like the Gemara in Nedarim? So Tosis quotes it, Tosis assumes that's the din. Other Rishonim seem to reject that Gemara. They say that's the Havamin in the Gemara, and the Maskon is that it's not so. So Machlekes, whether we really say like that. Maybe the wife, the simple reading in the Mishnah is not like the Gemara's interpretation in Nedarim. So that's why many other Rishonim hold not like Tosis, that the din is that the wife can be kind of a shutfis in the box of matzah, even if she doesn't have her own chatzah. Here there's a famous Tosfos. Dira Maska Mazakalah Maidei Benabitak Doilim. What does the Mishnah draw a distinction between my children before Bar Mitzvah, my children after Bar Mitzvah? Why is it a difference? Children before Bar Mitzvah, other children in the neighborhood before Bar Mitzvah, or guests who happen to be there, anyone before Bar Mitzvah can be Zeicher. Usually a cotton cannot be Zeicher L'Acherim, but Shituf and Mavus is only with the Rabbanon, so the Mishnah was Mekel. The Omer Hevriya is a Ktana, so we make a cotton kami zeichel acher. So why my own children is toignish? Why my own children is different? So the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, this is based on a Mishnah Bav Metzia. There's a Mishnah Bav Metzia that records a takana de Rabbanon. Metzia is banav ibnos of haktanim. Let's say my children are walking in the street and they find a $1,000 bill in the street. So they pick up an aveda, whatever, a dovish al hefka. Usually you pick up an aveda, you have to give it back to the rightful owner, unless it's a dovish ein bo simon, or it's a city where rove of the people are nochrim, so there's no chiyav hashavas aveda. So one of my children picks up an aveda that he has a right to keep. It's not an iser of geneva. So the Mishnah says, who is entitled to keep this aveda? Does the child keep it or does the father keep it? So the Mishnah says it depends whether the child is a kotten or a gadol. So the simple pshat in the Mishnah, kotten means before bar mitzvah, and a gadol means after bar mitzvah, or bas mitzvah, before bas mitzvah, after bas mitzvah. So the Gemara has in Bava Mitzia, the Gemara has a Machlekes, Yud Beis and Mebeis, and we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan, Machlekes, I think, Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, and we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan, that loy godel godel mamish, well loy cotton cotton mamish. Cotton means samach al shulchan aviv, and godel means zenith samach al shulchan aviv. If the kid, let's say, I have children who are 20 years old, I have a son who's 22 years old, and he doesn't earn his own living, he lives in my apartment. So even though my son and my daughter, I have 9 children, so 2 are still single. So the 2 single children, we supply them with all their food, we don't charge them any rent to live in the apartment. So even though they're both passed by mitzvah, but that's called a cotton. A godl hasomach al shulchan aviv is called a cotton. And if you have a child before by mitzvah and the kid makes his own business, he sells Kool-Aid and he delivers newspapers and he has his own apartment and he makes his own parnasa. So a cotton who's not samach al shulchan aviv He's called the godler in the Mishnah. So Tosfos said that's how he passed like Rabbi Yochanan, that the takana de rabbanon that metzias katan la'aviv, metzias banav v'bnos v'aktanim goes to the father. So we don't pass like Shmuel that katan mamish and godl mamish. It depends on before bar mitzvah versus after bar mitzvah. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan that it depends whether they're independent. Are they smuchim al shulchan aviim? They're not smuchim al shulchan aviim. So the Rabbi Natam and Tosfos claims that's the pashtus. That in our Mishnah, the Mishnah draws a contrast between Banav HaMnos of HaKtanim as opposed to Banav HaMnos of HaGdolim, the way we pass like Rabbi Yechanan regarding the reading of the Mishnah in Bava Metziah, that Banav HaKtanim is not to be taken literally, it means the children are Smuchim al Shulchan Aviyim. So the same over here. So let's say if I have my two single children, they're way past the Bar Mitzvah and Bat Mitzvah, but nonetheless, they're smuchim al shulchani. They don't have their own apartment. They don't earn their own money. So I would not be able to give them the air if they should pick it up. I have to bother the next door neighbor to pick up the box of matzahs. I can't give it to my own children. If some of my children will visit, some of my married children will have their own apartment, they'll come and they'll visit for Shabbos, so I can give them the box of matzahs to be kind of shutfis for all the other Shomer Shabbos in the building. That's not a problem. That's called banav v'bnos v'hagadolim because they're independent. But my children who are still single and I'm supporting them, even though they're after bar mitzvah, so the Rabbi Natam says that's called banav v'bnos of haktanim. Haktanim means smuchim al shulchan avim. The pashtus is like the Rabbi Natam, that the expression that the Mishnah uses, banav v'bnos of hagdolim versus banav v'bnos of haktanim, should depend on that Mishnah in Bava Metziah. We're discussing, just like we made a contrast between Eved Ivri and Eved Kenani. Why? Because in Eved Kenani, kol mashikon Eved Kana Rabbo. So it's like taking the box of matzahs from my right hand, putting it in my left hand. Nifnesha yodon ki yodo. It never left my rishus. David Ivri is an independent person. You don't say kol mashikon Eved Kana Rabbo. So if I give the box of matzahs to the Eved Ivri, that's like giving it to a stranger, to a different person. It's not considered like putting it from my right hand to my left hand. So that's the pashtus. If I give the box of matzahs to my bonav b'nos of aktanim, since the din midirabonon is that metzias hakotn li'aviv, so it's considered as if I take it from my right hand, put it in my left hand. So that should depend on smuchim al shulchan aviyim. That's the pashtus like the Rabbi Natam. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam reads this Mishnah kipshuto. Even though the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yochanan there in Bava Metziah, that loy godel godel mamish v'lo katan katan mamish, with respect to Metzias banav v'nos v'aktanim, it depends on smuchim al shulchan aviyim. But in our Mishnah, he reads it kipshuto. So it's a pella. Why? The pashtus really should be like the Rabbi Natam. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the both opinions, the Rambam's opinion and the Tosfos opinion. The pashtus is like Tosfos. So this is the practice that we do. Instead of collecting a challah from every person when you make an Erev, one person buys a box of matzahs and he gives it to another person to pick it up to be kind of tefach, to pick up to be kind of shutfus for all the Shomer Shabbos who live. They're going to move until next Pesach. So the Gemara talks about this. Omar of Yehuda in the Gemara, Chavish al Shetufim Mavuas. Shetufim Mavuas doesn't have to be bread. It can be a barrel of wine also. So that's what they're talking about, a barrel. So Tzoch Lagbiyah Menakark at Tefach. The din requires you have to pick it up at Tefach. Fine. Omar Rav says, Hani Tartamili, the following two halachas were formulated by a certain Amora whom we refer to with the nickname Sovi de Pumbedisa, the elders, the older Tamir Chachamim who lived in the city Pumbedisa. Who were the elders of Pumbedisa? So Rashi tells you, look in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin, what is it? Yud Zayin on the base. In the end of the first parak in Sanhedrin, Gemara has a whole bunch of nicknames. Sovi de Bavel, and Sovi de Pumbedisa, and Acherim Amrim. Just like the Meiri always gives Gedoli HaRabbanim and Gedoli HaMefarshim and Gedoli HaMechabrim, he never tells you whom he's referring to. He calls Rashi Gedoli HaRabbanim and the Rambam is Gedoli HaMechabrim. Each Rishon he has a different nickname. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yudzayin and Beis, has a few nicknames for a certain Amoraim. So whenever the Gemara says, whenever we use this expression, Sovei, the Pumbedisa, the older Rabbanim in the city Pumbedisa, Rashi says that's a reference to Rabbi Yehuda v'Yishivasai, Rabbi Yehuda and his group. So Rava says there are two dinim that I heard in the name of Sovei de Pumbedisa. Hani Tartamili, the following two halachas, Sovei de Pumbedisa, which are the two? Chodaha, one is the one that we just said, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Chavish HaShtufu was, you have to pick it up at Tefach, that was said by Rabbi Yehuda, he's the Sovi de Pumbedisa. And the other din, apparently, Rava lived in Machuzah. Machuzah is a different city. So he didn't know what the... Rabbi Yehuda must have said thousands of dinim. He only heard two dinim in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. So one din that he heard in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that the barrel has to be picked up at Tefach, right? And Idach, and the other halacha that he heard was the following. Whenever you say Kiddush ala Yayin, or you say Havdol ala Kos, or you bench Bichas Amozn ala Kos, or under the chuppah you recite Sheva Brachas, so you're only Yotze, the Inyan of ala Kos, if you take a sip. And how much do you have to sip? So he says, Hamekadesh, Idach, the second din that I heard in the name of Rabbi Yehuda is the following. Hamekadesh, if a person recites Kiddush ala Yayin, im tom aloy lugmav Yotze, imlaav lo Yotze. You're only yotze the inyan of a brach ala kos if you take a sip, and how much does a sip have to be? Has to be a maloy lugmav. Yeah, how much is a maloy lugmav? That's the shayla. So Tosis on the bottom has a famous kasha. Tosis has a gemara that they thought the gemara in Yuma says that maloy lugmav is way more than a revius. So they're bothered with the kasha when you say kiddush, the cup only has to have a revius. So how can you drink a maloy lugmav? Doesn't have a maloy lugmav. So obviously they read the Gemara wrong. It cannot be that a Malay Lugmav is more than Revius. So on Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon Hilchas Kiddush quotes a Ran in Arbe Psochim who reads the Gemara in Yuma correctly. The Gemara in Yuma says Malay Lugmav is a Rav Revius by an Adam Beinani. It's less than a Revius. It's a Rav Revius by an Adam Beinani. There is no requirement that you should drink Rav Kais. By Arbe Kais, some Rishonim say you have to really drink Kol HaKos. By Arbekos on Pesach night, you have to drink kolakos lechatchila, and if you didn't drink kolakos, then you say ruba kakula, if you drank ruba kos. And then some say, what if the kos is even so big it has three revius in? A gigantic. This has, a revius is the volume of a beitza or machza, the volume of an egg and a half. This has many, that has the volume of many eggs in it. So there's one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. However large your kos is, for Arbekos you have to drink a rov kos. For Kiddush and Avdola, there's no requirement. Nobody says you have to drink a Rav Kos. Gemara just says, Hamavarach Tzor Sheyitim, you have to take a sip. V'kama, so the Gemara says, it has to be a Malay Lugmav. A Malay Lugmav is a Rav Revius. Even if the Kos is gigantic, you drink a Malay Lugmav, that would be sufficient. So these are the only two dinim that Rav heard. These are the only two dinim that were mislabeled. Maybe he's correcting that other people said these dinim in the name of other Amoraim. I want everybody to know that these two dinim are also said by Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora from Pumbedisa. So he says the first din, what we just said, they have to pick up the Erei Chatzeres or the Shetufim Bavuas at Tefach. And the second din is when you say Kiddush, you have to drink Maloy Lugmav, otherwise you're not Yotze. Under the Chuppah, it's a problem. Usually they don't drink Maloy Lugmav.
I did.
Oh. Good. Very good. So I remember at my wedding, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein told me that the Kaisa Verison is only a minik from the days of the Gaonim. It's not Medina de Gemara, so it's not so important. He says, you just have a little sip. You don't have to have a Malay Lugamah. But he said, for the Kaishal Nisuin, after you read the Ksuba, and then you recite the Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah, so that many had the Girsa that that's Medina de Gemara, that you have to, and then you need Malay Lugamah for that. So he said, you should try to drink a Malay Lugamah. In Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions. Can you be mitzarf? Let's say you say Kiddush. So the one who says Kiddush takes a little sip, and his wife takes a little sip, and he has nine children. So each one of the children takes a little sip. So, and now the whole cup of wine is all gone. So obviously, altogether they had a Malay Lugma, but no one person had a Malay Lugma. So that's two opinions in the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Can you be mitzarf Malay Lugma for more than one person, or do you require? No, one person has to drink a Malay Lugma. So by a chuppah we usually make all the chasen and the kala together. But a lot of times even the chasen with the kala together, they just take a mashahu. So two mashahus still not a malay lugma. So at least by the koshal nisuin, one should really try to be careful about that, to have a full malay lugma. Yeah. So Rava only says over two dinim in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe these are the only two dinim that were mislabeled, that they were not said over correctly in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. And the next Amar, Amrav Chaviva, Honami Savita Pumbedisa. I mean, I know another din also that was said by Rabbi Yehuda. It must be 1,000 dinim in the Gemara. So why is he only picking on two or three? So Rav Chaviva says there's another din, maybe also is mislabeled, and he's setting the record straight. So this too was originally said by Rabbi Yehuda. Amrav Yehuda Amashmuel, the following din. If a woman gave birth to a baby, she can get pneumonia if she's not warm. So if there's a suffix hakonas nefashas on Shabbos, if you can get a nachri to be mechal Shabbos, good. If you can't get a nachri, you have to be mechal Shabbos yourself. A suffix hakonas nefashas, you have to do whatever is necessary to save the life of the person. So he says, oisim medura lachay b'Shabbos. You're permitted, the Jew is permitted to make a flame on Shabbos for a yoledus. A chai is a woman who had a baby. That's the memory of Rabbi Yudah Mashmur. So that's also Sava de Pumbadis. So now the Gemara is going to go a little bit details on this. Sava Minor, originally they thought that this memory of Rabbi Yudah and Mashmur only applies l'chai and l'choy l'lo. That's only a yoledus. A yoledus is really a suffix sakona. So if she'll get the chill, she may get pneumonia. Chali, the person can die. But stam achoy, a person that has a cold, maybe that's not as serious as the yoledus, and you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to make a fire to keep him warm. And also the Gemara thought, in the winter time, we're afraid the yoledus can catch a cold. But in the summertime, it's hot outside. What do you have to make a fire in the summertime? Even if the person has the chills, but he can't get pneumonia in the summertime, how can it be? So the Gemara, and it's not true. Itma Amar Avchia Baravan Amar Shmuel, that it's not correct. Not only a Yoled the Sachaya Hikizdam Vinitz Tanein. If a person donated blood, in the days of the Gemara, they didn't know about donating blood. No. So Hikizdam means that they stelled bankers. They used to let blood. They thought that that was healthy. They thought that it's not healthy to have too much blood. You get high blood pressure, I guess. So every so often they would let blood. So there'll be less blood in the circulatory system. So he is dam, if a person donated a little blood, let's say, then it's tanin and he catches a cold, and he's nishken yoledes, he's not a yoledes, but he has a cold. Even in the middle of a hot summer, it's burning hot outside, but he has the chills, he has a cold, so that can be considered a suffix sakana. So if there's no goy to make the fire, the Jew has to make the fire. Not only for yoledes, even for chayle. And not only in the wintertime, even in the summertime. So we made two mistakes, the Gemara said. We made Sava Minor, when we originally heard the memory from Rabbi Yudah Mashmuel, we thought it's only by Yoledes. Stomach person has a cold, he has the chills, it wouldn't apply. And we thought it's only in the wintertime, not in the summertime. Gemara said they're both not correct. Even for a regular Chayla who has a cold, and even in the summertime. So far we only know three memories in the name of Rabbi Yudah. There's another member also from Rabbi Yudah. That's the question. Why do they only single out four members? There are 1,001 members in the name of Rabbi Yudah. Unless it means that these were unclear. That these were, they thought that they were in the name of someone else, and they're setting the record straight. So the Amemar says there's a fourth member also that was really, that should really be attributed to Rabbi Yudah. What's the Shaila? The Abedin and Chumash, Avodah Zarah is also Bahno. Not only but the din is Avodah Zarah is only also manoff. Yeshbo Tvisas Yad Adam. Yeshbo Tvisas Yad Adam means that it's a man-made Avodah Zarah. Let's say you have a totem pole that was manufactured l'shem Avodah Zarah. So that's also manoff. Or let's say you have a tape recorder, you have a pair of glasses, you have a container. So the thing is, was manufactured l'shem Avodah Zarah, but it's man-made. So something Yeshbo Tvisas Yad Adam means that it's man-made. Then if a person deifies it, a person bows down to it, and he makes it into an Avodah Zarah, so then it becomes Asabanoa. What if the thing is not man-made? Let's say you have a mountain, and the person bows down to the mountain, and the mountain belongs to him. It's not a Shai Levein on the Mosa Dabba Shein Shaloi, but it's Mechuber. So then the Pasuk teaches us, Aleheim al Haharim, Uloi Haharim Aleheim. That's a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. The mountain itself is Ein Bo Tvisas Yad Adam. Not only a mountain, the Rambam says Hamishtach v'le'bal chai. If you bow down to a behemoth, also does not become awesome. So Rashi and Tosfos in Chulin, the end of the second parak, right? Huh?
Tree.
Asher, that's the Gemara is going to work on Asher. The mission is going to work on. So Rashi and Tosfos in Chulin, the end of the second parak, claim that these are two different halachas. That balechaim are not neser and mechub is not neser. A different halachas based on different psukim, and the details are different. What if you bring Tikruvis to them? So Rashi and Tosfos say, Ahar, loy ahar malahaya mechuber, doesn't have a shame of a desire at all. So even if you offer Tikruvis to the mountain, this Meshugana bows down to the mountain, he deifies the mountain, and he's offering sacrifices to the mountain. So that's not, doesn't count. The Tikruvis is muta. But if you deify Behema, the halacha says the Behema doesn't become Asmano, Balechai, Manat Nesarim, But if you offer tikruvus to the behemoth, the tikruvus will be asabano. The Rambam does not distinguish. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi and Tosis. He says the behemoth with the mechuber learned that from the same pasuk. The din is, it's not a din of karka versus metaltalin. The mechuber la karka is not nesaleim alahorim alahorim alahim. The Rambam uses the Lashon HaGemara as it depends on yesh bo tvisus yadodam versus zein bo tvisus yadodam. So the Rambam quotes a Gemara like this. Let's say the hen lays an egg, and the egg was untouched by human hands, and I bow down to the egg for some crazy reason. Or the tree, an apple tree, and the apples fall off from the tree and they're on the ground. The apples are tolush, but nobody picked up the apples yet. So I bow down to the apples, I'm mishtachva to the apples, mishtachva to the eggs. So since it's Embo Tvisas Yaradam, so it does not become awesome. But once somebody picked up the egg, and someone picked up the apple and put it down, they didn't pick it up, the Shem of Adizar. Once it was picked up by a human, or someone kicked it, someone pushed all the apples in one direction, so once it was moved from its original spot where the apple fell down, where the egg fell down, when the hen lays the egg, once it was moved, so that's considered yesh bo tvisus yaradam, is considered as if it was the apple and the egg were manufactured by human being, and only an item that was man-made can become nitfas with an iser avodah zarah. The Rambam explains not a din of karka versus metaltalin. Let's say hamishtachva labayis, a person deifies the house. A house is called mechuba lekarka dina kekarka, but the Gemara says with respect to avodah zarah, a house is not like a natural thing. It's not like a tree. A house is man-made. So since a house is man-made, it's yesh bo tvisus yaradam. So it does become asabano. So that's how the Rambam defines the din. Based on Gemara, the Rambam says that behema and mechuber are not nesarim, is the same din of the egg that the hen lays and no one picked it up, and the apple that fell down. These are Gemara and Avodah Zarah, that the apple that fell down, the egg that no one moved yet, is yesh bo tvisus yaradam, it's mutar. So the Mishnah raises the question. It says, "Beferish and Nechumish, Vashereim Tisra from Boesh." When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to burn all of the Asherah trees because the goyim used to worship the trees. So how can an Asherah tree be Osamano if it's Mechuba LaKarka? So the Mishnah gives an answer: if the Asherah tree was planted Milachatchila, Al Das to serve as an Avodah Zarah. If it was planted Milachatchila, so then even though it's absolutely Mechuba LaKarka, Dina Kekarka. But this din is not a function of mechuba versus talush. It's not a function of karka versus metalfman. It's a din, is it yesh bo tvisus yaradam or ein bo tvisus yaradam? Is it man-made? So a tree that was planted, l'shem avodah zarah, is man-made. Clearly, the tree was planted. If the tree was planted, shelo l'shem avodah zarah, then later on someone decides to deify it, to worship it. So that's called ein bo tvisus yaradam. Because the planting, the fact that a human being planted the tree didn't happen by itself, that's gone and forgotten already. By the time someone comes to worship it, it's considered as if it's Embo Tvisus Yaradam. But if the planting was L'shem Avodah Zarah, then the Mishnah says it becomes Asamano. So what if I don't know the whole past history? I don't know whether the tree was planted L'shem Avodah Zarah. So that's what the Amoraim are discussing. Ezuhi Asherah Stam, when do you have an Asherah? We have never seen, Rashi says, we never noticed that they're really worshipping this Asherah tree. Where do you have an Asherah tree that we have the right to assume that it probably is Asabano? Where do you have such a situation? Omar Rav, so it's a Machlekes Amaroim. Machlekes Rav Shmuel. Omar Rav, so Rav claims, Kol Shem Mishor Se Avodah Zarah Shomer Moso, Vein Tomim Miperaseho. If the Galochim, this tree is growing right next to the church, and the Galochim don't allow anybody to eat the fruits of the tree. So obviously they have deified the tree. So it's a simen that they're worshipping the tree. Worshipping the tree is not enough. It has to be that it was planted l'shem Avodah Zarah. So we have to be concerned. Maybe it was planted l'shem Avodah Zarah. Maybe it's us. And Shmuel disagrees, and he says, you have to have more than that. Just because they don't eat the fruits, and they don't let anybody, in Tom and Paris, they don't allow anybody to eat it, that's not enough to declare you don't know one way or the other. You have no right to say that that's Asaman. No? Shmuel said, you got to have more aglaim ledover than that. You have to have better evidence than that. Kigon the Amri, Hani Tami leshichre debay Natsrifi. Natsrifi, Rashi says, was the name of an Avodah Zarah in the days of the Amoraim in Bovel. That was the name of the local Avodah Zarah, the Getchke. So if you have a date tree, and the Galochim, who are in charge of this pardes, that's right outside of the church, they say, we're saving these dates to make beer, leshichre debay Natsrifi. the Shosele B'yom Chagam are going to drink it on the holiday, if they say that Beferish, so then Shmuel says that you have the right to assume that must have been, that's deified, and maybe it was planted L'shem Avod Azar, so that's going to be Asamano. So the Shad is then this Machlek is Rabbi Shmuel, how should we paskin? So a Meimer has a tradition that this is a fourth din that was said over the name of Rabbi Yudah, the Savi the Pumbedisa. The Omrili Savi the Pumbedisa, I was told, a Meimer says, I was told in the name of Rabbi Yudah with his yeshiva, Hilchasa Kavasei the Shmuel, we should paskin like Shmuel. So the Gemara only brings these four cases, some historical connection over here. It's very unclear why did they only quote these four cases. Okay.
Is there a difference with an Asherah tree,
whether they planted for the seed?
In other words, if it's a small little piece of planting, that's already a tree. So it's a tree that you're planting, and you started off with as opposed to the seed, you just plant in the ground. Seed and a tree are two different things.
But if they plant the seed and they plant to worship it when it grows.
Okay, even though it changes completely.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same.
So it's only based on the
dots. Yeah.
What happens when you hear these things, but it's clear that they couldn't have planted a tree? It's a 10-foot wide tree, so it's thousands of years old. Mm-hmm.
So we know it was not planted, L'shem Avodah Zarah. So then the Mishnah has more details. If they trim the tree, L'shem Avodah Zarah. If they cut off branches, so then there's a long discussion in the Mishnah. Only what they chiseled off becomes Avodah Zarah, or even what remains behind also becomes Avodah Zarah. It gets involved. The Mishnah gets involved there in Avodah Zarah about the details. If it's clear that it was not planted, the shame Avodah Zarah. Let's see. So now the Gemara has a kasha. How can Rav Yudah say that it's necessary to pick up the Chovish al Shituf and Mavus, to pick it up at Tefach? Here there's a Brais, a Meisve. It's going to run through all the dinim. Ketz mishtat from a Mavu. How do you make a Shituf and Mavus? It's not necessary to have Dafke Pas, Shemavachim Olav Amoitz. That's Erevei Chatzeres. Here you can have a barrel of wine. So it says, you bring a Chovish al Yain, Chovish al Shemen, Shal Tmorim, a barrel full of dates, Shal Groigres, dried out figs, whatever, Shal Sharmini pears, whatever you want. And if one person paid for the whole thing and has to be on b'shutfas by everybody else, so you have somebody, you have to give it to someone else to pick it up to be kind of shutfas for the others. And if somebody collected grapes or oranges from everybody, so you have to tell all the people that we took your oranges. You have no right, stum. I'm going to sell my child and tell my kid, go to everyone's home and pour out a little bit of wine into this big barrel, and we'll make an erev shetuf mevuos. You have to tell the people that we're taking your wine. They have to be maskim, because the din is the shetuf mevuos. The erev chatzeres is only good if you're not makbid. If anybody eats up all the chalas and everybody drinks all the wine, if a person is makbid, it's a teignish. So we know that all the people would like to have an erev chatzeres, but they're not necessarily prepared to be mevat there on their wine, that if anybody else wants to drink it, it's okay. So the Brisa says, Tzorch lohodia. If I send one of my children, I send someone to collect from everybody, it can't take Bal Kochum. He has to tell them that we're taking it. You have to be mevater, everyone has a right to take to eat it. And then the punchline of the Brisa is, you have to be magbia min akarka mashu. So it's a hastira. How can Rabbi Yudah say, Tzorch lagbia min akarka tefach? Here it says, mashu. And for the Gemara, that's what it means. Mashuhu means, as opposed to Gimel Tvachim, as opposed to Asar Tvachim, it's sufficient if you pick it up one Tefach. That's what Rabbeinish Finkel once told me. That he was at a Sheva Brachas. He was a big kibbutzer. He was in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. His father was a Blazer Yudel Finkel. So he said that he was at a Sheva Brachas and they had a gigantic Becher. So he said, what do they take such a big Becher for? Chazanish is Shir. So the Chazanish is machmer, what's a revius. So when it was time to bench, so he picked it up like this. And so they said, what are you picking it up for? You only have to pick it up at Tevach. So he said, machmer on the Shia. Machmer on the Shia. If that's called a revius, a whole gallon is called a revius. So that's called a Tevach. Yeah. So the Gemara says, you only have to pick it up at Tevach. Mashu means it's not necessary to pick it up more than a Tevach. You don't have to pick it up four Tevachim, three Tevachim. One tefach is good enough. That's called mashu. Now the Gemara has a machlekes whether we paskan like the Mishnah. Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah says that the erev echatzeres and the shituf and mevuas has to be on b'shutfas by all the Shamri Shabbos. So if I bought a box of matzahs from the store and I wanted to serve as an erev echatzeres, I can't just pick it up and say this is the erev echatzeres. I have to give it to the next nanei, but she has to pick it up to be kind of shutfas for all of the Shamri Shabbos, and then I say that this is the erev echatzeres. So that's a that's what it says in the Mishnah. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, whether we paskin like the Mishnah. Shitufim itma shitufim mevuas. Rab says it's against the Mishnah. Ein sarach lezakos. There's no need to be mezake to make a kinyan to have the next day neighbor do it. I can pick up the box of matzahs myself and I say this is the erev echatzeres. In fact, this is the shitufim mevuas. And Shmuel says no. The Mishnah says sarach lezakos. The Mishnah says Shmuel follows the Mishnah. You have to make a kinyan on behalf of the other people. What about Eruvei Tchumen? What if you want to go chutz l'tchum? I know that you want to go chutz l'tchum. So I'm going to do you a favor. I'll make an Eruvei Tchumen on your behalf. So do I have to be makne, the food? I put away a jar of pickles. I put away a container of orange juice, a box of matzahs, whatever it is. A can of tuna fish, gefilte fish, a jar of gefilte fish. Any kind of food is good. So do I have to be makne you the jar of gefilte fish? Or I just put away the food and I say, I designate this is your food and this is your erve tchum and now you can go chutz l'tchum, you can go further. So that's also machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Rav said that by eruv chatzeres tufum vus, you don't have to make a kinyan. So by eruv tchum, he says you do have to make a kinyan. And Shmuel says by shitufum vus, you do have to make a kinyan, but by going chutz l'tchum, eruv tchum, he says you don't have to make a kinyan. So the Gemara says Shmuel makes good sense. Bishleim with the Shmuel. Shmuel just reads the Mishnayos. That's the way it says in the Mishnayos. Hocha tanan v'hocha lo tanan. Here by shitufum mevuas it says sarach mezake lahem aydei b'nabit agdem. The Mishnah says you have to be mezake. Then when you look at all the other Mishnayos, when they're talking about eruv tchum, it never says you have to be mezake to anybody else. It's not necessary to be mezake. The Shmuel follows the Mishnayos. Shmuel, we understand very well why. Let's say you're going to eat in my home on Shabbos. I have to be makna the food to you. There's no need for me to be makna the food. I'll give you the food. I'll serve you the food. You don't need shalachem. By matzah and the leil ha-pesach, there's a machlekes in Rishonim where you need shalachem. From the Gemara, it sounds like you need shalachem. Just like you need shalachem on the lulav, the first 2 days of Sukkot. So some Rishonim read the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rosh understands the Gemara in Psochim and Daf Lamed Ches that you need shalachem by matzah as well. And the Rambam holds that there's no need for shalachem. If you have a matzah gzula, you're not yotze, not because you're lacking shalachem, but rather because it's a mitzvah b'baver, but you don't need shalachem. So normally, let's say to be yotze suda Shabbos, you don't need that it should be shalachem. So what's the whole idea behind an eruv etchumin? You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum, but if I leave your food, someone leaves your food over here, so since that's a mazon shtei sudas, that's enough food to eat. I leave a jar of pickles, enough pickles to eat in two meals. I leave a jar of potato salad, enough potato salad to eat in two meals. I leave some gefilte fish, I leave some chicken. How much chicken do you have to leave? Enough chicken to eat in two different meals. So if I leave mazon shtei sudas, there's a mitzvah to have shalvah sudas on Shabbos, but if you leave mazon shtei sudas, that's good enough for the eruv etchumen. So if you leave food, so that's your makom. Wherever you have your meals, that's your makom. So who said that if I'm a guest by someone else, I can be out to the meals without shalachem? You don't need shalachem. So why should you require that the erev etchumen should be shalachem of the person? As long as we put it aside, this is your erev etchumen. These are your mazon shtei sudas, and this is your makom. Let's say in the country where I go on vacation to Tannersville, some of the people live very far away from the shul. So some of the people have to make an erev etchumen. They live half an hour walk away from the shul. And it's not considered one big city. The houses are not so close to each other. So they have to make an erev etchumen that they should be allowed to walk to shul. So what do they do when they have guests on Shabbos? So they leave, instead of one jar of pickles, so they leave five jars of pickles in the same location. Fine. So the shaita is they left five jars of pickles the first Shabbos because they had the husband and the wife and they had three guests. Okay. Then the next Shabbos they have another three guests. So, and the same jar, the five jars of pickles are still there by someone else's home. They left them in someone else's home, and the jars of pickles are still there. So do they have to be makne, the jars of pickles? Did they have to be makne to the first three guests who were there the first Shabbos? And now those guests who are no longer there, they have to, the guests who went back to New York, they have to be makne the jars of pickles to the new guests who are there this week? Or is it, get up, there are three jars of pickles for the three guests of Mr. and Mrs. Pliny. Whoever the guests are going to be, this is designated. Do you really need a kinyan? So Shmuel follows the reading of the Mishnayos. He said, for shituf mevuos eruv chatzer seit, it says in mezaka, you have to be kinyan shutfus. By eruv etchumin, it doesn't say you have to be mezaka. There's no need that it should belong to the person. And the Gemara says, we don't paskin like that. The Gemara says on the fourth wide line, on Pei Omen Aleph, Omer Av Nachman Naktinon, we have a tradition. How do we paskin in this machloikis Rabbi Shmuel? Do you have to be makne or not? So we paskin lechumra on everything. Echad eruv etchumin, ve'echad eruv v'chatzeres, ve'echad eshutuf ha'mavuos. In all three cases, tzorch lezakas, like the chumras of Rav and the chumras of Shmuel. Shmuel holds you only have to be mezakeh, have a shutfiz by shutuf ha'mavuos. By eruv etchumin, you don't have to have a bailus. And Rav holds punkt faket from the Mishnayos, everything backwards from the Mishnayos. Rav Tanu Hu Palik. Rav has the right to disagree, and we paskan lechumra and everything. Then the Gemara says, and what do you say about Erev Tavshilin? Let's say the rabbi makes an Erev Tavshilin for all the Balabatim, who are going to forget. So does he just, he puts away the Erev Tavshilin and says, this is the Erev Tavshilin for me and for all the Shamishav, for all the people who are going to forget. That's good enough? Or does he have to give the Erev Tavshilin to someone to be kind of shutfus, to pick it up and be kind of shutfus for all the people? So what's the din by Erev Tavshilin? So the Gemara raises the question. Boy, Rav Nachman, Erev Tavshilin Tzorch Lezakas, Ayin Tzorch Lezakas, what's the din? So the Gemara says, Vosra Shaila. We have a Omer Rav Nachman Bar Avad, Omer Shmuel, Erev Tavshilin Tzorch Lezakas. You have to make a shutfus. So the Gemara says, oh, okay, I didn't know that Shmuel said so. If I would have known that he said so, I wouldn't clear the Shaila. I'm not misupik. If Shmuel says that's the din, that's the din. I just never heard that Shmuel said it. So that's bottom line, that's how we paskin. In all four cases, you need to be, if you're making an Erev Echatzeres, or a Shituf HaMevuas, or Erev Tavshilin, or an Erev Echumen, on behalf of someone else, it then requires you have to be Mezaka to the other person.
When you're private, when you're at home, your wife has to give it over to you so you're Mezaka her and the family?
No. If you have the guests are bottled as one big family, you don't need a shutfis for all the people. And if you have guests, even though they're not guests kavua, they just came for one day, they're only coming for one meal, or for one day, so the guests are included in all of it.
So should we make it up in that same Rav? I mean, if the Rav was
Mezaka
for everybody.
The Rav is only Mezaka for those who forget. For whoever remembers, he doesn't want to steal them, he doesn't want to cheat them out of the mitzvah. Whoever makes his own Erev Tavshilin is okay. Whoever forgets, so you can rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin. Yeah. Okay. In this week's Sedra, we have the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The real din of Korban Pesach has to be brought in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Korban Pesach that they brought to Mitzrayim was a Hayru Ashur. It wasn't the regular din l'duris. It was no mizbeach. He's supposed to sprinkle the dam on the mizbeach. He's supposed to burn the chalef on top of the mizbeach. Here, everything was hayru ashur. But in principle, the idea of Korban Pesach is a din l'duris. There is such a mitzvah l'duris. So there is a Tosfos in the beginning of Pesachim. Tosfos claims that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach only applies to those people who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara records that people would travel from Europe and Asia and Africa. Everybody would come. Eretz Yisrael is right in the middle of Europe, Asia, and Africa. People would travel from all over in order to participate in Korban Pesach. But Tosfos says, Mikra Din, they're not mechuyev to. Only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are mechuyev to participate in Korban
Pesach. That's
own property.
So that's how Tosfos writes. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira didn't own karka in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, so that's why he wasn't mechuyev in Korban Pesach. So on the side of the Tosfos, they refer you to the Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech says that Divrei HaTosfos Tmuim Miyod, there's no mocker in the Gemara. The Gemara later in the first perek says, Mishein lo karka is not mechuyev to be oil regel. That's based on Pesukim Mechumish. Ali oil regel says, Leachman ishis harzacha baloscha leiroes es penei Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that Shluchim Mitzvah Einim Nizokim, if all the Jews will go join together, they'll all congregate in Yerushalayim and visit the Beis HaMikdash, the Arabs won't attack on Chol HaMoed Pesach. The Arabs won't attack. So the Gemara understands from that pasuk that only one is mechuyev to be Ol HaRegel who owns Karak in Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara never said you're not mechuyev in Karban Pesach if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. Where did Tosfos get that from? That's what the Mishlam Melech asks on Tosfos. So later Sfarim write that it's Beferish in the Yerushalmi, and the reason given by the Yerushalmi is that Karban Pesach is considered a Karban Tzibur. It's not paid for by Machzah Shekel money. Each individual group of people chip in their own private money to buy Karban Pesach. In that sense, it's not a Karban Tzibur. But still, the Gemara says in Yume that Karban Pesach is a Karban Tzibur in the sense that it's Osi Bechanufya. The whole Klal Yisrael joins together to bring it. So that's what the Yerushalmi develops, an idea that the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael really only applies to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Jews who live in Chutz Lartz and not really part of Klal Yisrael. So then we understand over here, why is it in Parshas Bo'i? True, much of the Korban Pesach Mitzrayim was Haru Ashof. Mosnechem Chagurim Na'alechem Baraglechem Makelchem B'yatcha Chaltem Osem B'chipozem Al Yetzish Mit Pesach Pesach Bo'ike. These are only dinim on Pesach Mitzrayim. These were not dinim that applied throughout all the future generations. This was a Haru Ashof. And then Zrikas Hadam Al Shteh Mezuzos and Svala Mashkov. And they didn't burn the chelev on any mizbech. There was no mizbech to speak of. So there were shchita v'shchut echut. I don't know. But v'shchut echut, they were shechting outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So a lot of these were Heiru Ashur. But in principle, the idea of Korban Pesach is a din l'daris. With all of these Heiru Ashur. So the shaila is, but one of the dinim l'daris is that they only bring Korban Pesach, only mechuyev to bring Korban Pesach, those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So was that also that aspect? No one lived in Eretz Yisrael here. That aspect was also Heiru Ashur, or not? So Grada, the Gemara says, we just spoke about it on Sunday. The Gemara says that on Chanukah we recite Hallel every day, and on Purim we don't recite Hallel. So the Gemara asks, why is there a difference? How come on Chanukah you do say Hallel, on Purim you don't? So the Gemara has three different suggestions. So one of the suggestions, one of the answers the Gemara gives is, Ein Amim Hallel on Neshe B'chutz Laretz. Then the Gemara asks the Kasha, what do you mean? But they said, Oz Yashir, at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. So that was an essence, Chutz Laretz. So the Gemara says, no. Achila Nifcha Eretz Yisrael, Ho Yekol Aratzis Ksheiris L'Shira. Mishin Nifcha Eretz Yisrael, then all the other Aratzis Apostle, and only in Eretz Yisrael you can say the Shira. So what does that mean? So the Menchas Chinuch learns Pshat in the Gemara, after the Jews entered Eretz on the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, that's our national homeland. So only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael from that time on are considered Klal Yisrael. But before they entered Eretz Yisrael, of course they were the Klal Yisrael. The Jews who lived in Mitzrayim were Klal Yisrael. This halacha that whoever lives in Chutz Lo is not mechuyev in Korban Pesach, that's what Tosfos claims by Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, this only applied after the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. Before the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, what are you going to say? There is no Klal Yisrael. No, the Klal Yisrael were the Jews who were participating in Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were the Klal Yisrael. Misha Nifchara Eretz Yisrael, after Eretz Yisrael was chosen, after they crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. So from that time on, only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have the status of Klal Yisrael. But that's there are other, the Yerushalmi has, there are other dinim also that depend only in Eretz Yisrael, like Machzah Shekel also. The Pashtus says that Machzah Shekel, the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz, is not mechuyev to give Machzah Shekel. That's what Aruch HaShulchan writes. He has a sefer, Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid. He writes not only in Aruch HaShulchan on the dinim that apply b'zman hazeh, he writes about Trumas and Maisis and Mitzvahs and the Beis HaMikdash. So he writes also Dovah Poshet, that Machzah Shekel only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Machzah Shekel is for the purpose of Karbonas Tzibur. The Tzibur, the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz are called Yechidim. They're not really part of the Iker part of the Tzibur. So this was not really, there were many Heiru Ashur blended in with the Pesach Mitzrayim, many details, but this detail, the fact that they didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, that was not really an exception to the rule. That was Kodim Shenivchar Eretz Yisrael, the Jews at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim constituted the Klal Yisrael.
Same thing with one Pesach in the Midbar when they were in Yisrael.
Right.
The concept of Chazal, I mean, Chachamim make this, or is it because Baruch made this Rosh?
This, the Rabban Shalom made this Rosh. Yes, when the Rabban Shalom made, sometimes the Rabban make the Rosh.
During the base of Mikdash, the second base of Mikdash. the Jews in Chutzlar did send Machzas HaShekel to Beis HaMikdash. Because there's a lot of, in fact, the Caesars gave special permission to the Jews who lived in other parts of the empire to actually send gold and silver out of the cities they lived in, even if the cities didn't want them to export money. And it was the ruling of the Caesar that the Jews had the right to do that, because it was a universal custom that the Jews were sending huge, huge sums of money to the Beit HaMikdash.
As donations or for the Machzas HaShekel?
It would seem for the Machzas HaShekel. They refer to special...
Mishnah talks about collecting, yeah. I don't remember if it says...